chapter number 2. I'm going to echo what Brother Joe preached about Friday night, and ain't this a wonderful time to be a Christian? This whole world's spinning out of control, don't know which end's up, don't know where it's going, what's going to happen, or anything else, but thank God we know. I've read the last chapter of the book, We Win. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to be a Christian this day and hour in which we live, and I praise and I thank Him for what He's done, what He's doing, and I look so forward to what He's going to do. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places." Well, we was there Friday, wouldn't we? "In Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, I come to You once more on this side of eternity, Lord. God, thankful for this wonderful day You've blessed us with. God, thank You for the wonderful week You blessed us with, Heavenly Father. How Your Word was opened, God, and shared and spoke to our hearts. God, how You helped, Lord. And Lord, I just want to thank You for Your presence that showed up, God. I just want to thank You that You are real, Heavenly Father, that You're not some false God or idol out there, but God, that You're real. You're the one and only true living God, Heavenly Father, and besides You, there is none else. God, I just want to thank You for these people, Lord, this place. God, You could have left me out there in some dead church somewhere, Lord, where You never have been or never have been around, Lord, for a long, long time, but You saw fit to put me here. And I thank You for that, Lord. God, I need Your help this morning. I ask, God, that You just use me. You get me out of the way and fill me with You. Lord, help me to be a blessing to Your people. I love You and I need You in Christ's name. Amen. I love this precious book I have here in front of me. There's a lot of truths in it. There's a lot of help in it. There's a lot of hope in it. There's salvation in it. There's separation in it. This book is just full of everything we need in our lives. This book's also an instructional book. It tells us what we were and what we are and who God is. And He laid that on my heart when I was reading out this chapter number 2. You know, because the Bible tells us we have to realize who we are and what we are before we'll know who God is. In other words, if we're out here walking around thinking we're doing it all and we're doing everything and everything's being done by us and through us and for us, then we'll never know who God is. So the Bible has a way of doing that. It teaches you exactly who you are, who you were, and shows you who God is. In other words, man's had a condition since the fall of since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Ever since then, man's had a condition. It's called sin. It's called a condition. And we've had that condition since then. And we have that condition today. And we're going to have that condition until the Lord comes back and takes us home. But God. And that's what I'd like to preach about this morning. For just a few minutes right there in verse number 4. But God. See, we have a condition being man. Man has a carnal condition. If you would look with me in verse number 3, it's a carnal condition. Among all, whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, that's what that word carnal means. It means to be of the world or to be worldly or of the flesh or rooted in the flesh. Desires of the mind. to be governed by mere human nature and not by the Spirit of God. I cannot figure out for the life of me how man gets through day by day that don't know God. I don't know how they can walk. I don't know how they can do anything without God. That's the way this old world is. It's just a carnal world. It's just things of the world and a worldly. And that desires of the mind, that really stood out when I was reading the definition of that world, carnal. See, man's got to where he thinks he can take and think his way or believe himself to be equal with or above God. This Oprahism or whatever you want to call it, where she found this fellow that says that all you got to do is sit down and meditate about it and think about it and think yourself pure enough and make yourself pure enough and you can be just like God. I ain't never figured out how in the world anybody could think like that or be like that or do that. But then I got to reading in this book and it told me how, because we're carnal. Because we have these desires in our hearts. We have these desires in our minds. And we're of the flesh. We're rooted. We were conceived in sin. We're born in sin. And unless you repent to a holy God and receive the gift of salvation, you'll die in sin and lift your eyes in the devil's hell. Why? All because we got a carnal condition. It's the condition of man. And that's exactly how we are. We have that carnal condition. But God provides separation. We don't have to be of this world. We don't have to do the things in this old world. Look with me over in Psalms 1, first chapter of the book of Psalms. We don't have to be of this world. And I thank God for it. I thank God because Paul said if we walked through this world knowing there was a God but no way to get to Him, we would be of all men most miserable. But thanks be unto God we have a way. Psalms 1:1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We don't have to be like that. We don't have to walk in these things. We don't have to stand in them. We don't have to sit in them. We don't have to be like the ways of this old world. We don't have to walk in this old world. We don't have to talk like this old world talks. We don't have to dress and act like this old world does. We're to come out and be separate. We're a separate people. Just like Brother Mike was saying that, we're a peculiar people. We're called to be priests, royal priests. And we're heirs to the throne of God. We're children of God. We're not supposed to be like this world. But yet we have to put up with this carnality that we wake up with every morning. I woke up this morning thinking, man, I sure am tired. I ain't gonna go to church this morning. And I know y'all arrived and didn't think that, but I did. I'm sorry, I did. I said, but it was just that old carnal flesh. That's all it was. But God showed me that separation. God says, no. God says, no. And when God says no, you do what God says. So I got up and I started feeling better. I got up and I opened this book and I started feeling better. I got in my prayer room and I prayed and I started feeling better. And I got thinking about coming to the house of God and I got to feeling better. I got thinking about what He did for us last week and I got to feeling better. Why? Because I've been separated from this world. This world don't understand what I know. This world don't have the peace I have. It don't have the joy I have. It don't have the desires I have. It don't have the heaven I have. It don't have the Savior I have. I have it all. This world ain't got nothing. And it holds nothing for me. I'm ready to go. Let's go now. Let's fold our tents up. Let's go home. I'm ready. There's nothing to hold me here. Why? Because I've been separated from the things of this old world. My carnal condition one day is going to go away. It's a carnal condition. I'm telling you it is. It's of the world. It's fleshly. Boy, and this old flesh ain't saved. Neither is your mind. Your mind's a devil's playground. And you better guard it. You better pray God hedge it up. You better pray God purge it every day you wake up. Because if not, Satan will be in there tiptoeing through the tulips of your brain. And then the next thing you know, you'll be out there tiptoeing with him. Not only does man have a carnal condition, but man has a continuing condition. Look at verse number 2. "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." It's an ongoing condition. You don't believe me? Just read over in the book. Look with me over in the book of Romans, chapter number 7. Romans, chapter number 7. I call this the mirror book of the Bible, because every time I look in this chapter 7 and I start reading, it's just like I'm looking in a mirror. I say, "Oh me, that's me." Romans chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal." There's that word again. Paul didn't say I was, or Paul didn't say I used to be. He said I am. And if one of the greatest preachers that ever put on a pair of shoes is carnal, you and I are carnal. I'm telling you, because I ain't nowhere near what the Apostle Paul was. Nowhere. Nowhere. And so I know that I am carnal. Sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But for what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is more I do that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against me, into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Here it is, O wretched man that I am. It's a continuing condition. It's an ongoing condition. We have to lay down, so we have to sacrifice ourselves daily. Paul said, I die daily. In other words, the wages of sin is death. And because of the sin in my life, that's what happens. From the minute I was born, I started dying. In other words, we were born in this world to die. Now what we do between the time we're born and the time we die, that's what matters. I'm telling you, what we need to understand, you know, when you go to the graves and when you go to the graveyard and you look on the tombstone and it says born this year and died this year and there's a little dash in between them, that dash is your life. And what that dash says depends on what's going to happen to you in the afterworld. That's going to depend on what happens to you when you pass from this life on to the next. But until then, we have to understand what's going on. We are still wicked people. I'm saved. Don't you get me wrong. I'm saved, sealed, and soon to be delivered. But I'm still a wicked person. I'm still vile. I'm still wretched. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And I can't understand why somebody like Paul, the Apostle Paul, who met Christ face to face, was struck down on a Damascus road and did what God wanted him to do all those years, was beaten, imprisoned, shackled, stoned, everything that happened to Paul, shipwrecked, and he could still say, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And that goes beyond me. That makes me realize just how small and insignificant and how vile I really am. We need to understand it's a continuing condition. We say, "Well, preacher, what happens then?" But God provided a sacrifice that we don't have to be in this continuing condition. We're not spiraling off into a devil's hell. Praise be unto God, I'm saved from that awful place called hell. Going to that wonderful place called heaven. Why? Because God provided a sacrifice. Look at verse number 8 in our text over there. In verse number 8 it says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In other words, God provided a sacrifice that we could have the gift of salvation. God gave us a way out of this continuing condition that man was in. Look in Colossians 2. Colossians chapter number 2. In verse number 10. Colossians number 2 and verse number 10. "And ye are completed in Him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." I'm going to stop right there. I looked up that little phrase, "having forgiven all trespasses," and it means a certificate of death with its decrees. In other words, my debt's been paid. My debt's been forgiven. If somebody walked up to you and handed you the mortgage to your house and said, "Your debt's been paid," you'd run a lap. If somebody walked up here and told you your land was paid, whatever was going on in your life, whatever you're paying for right now, if somebody walked up and handed you the deed or the mortgage or whatever it was, the title, You would just be so excited, so ecstatic with what they had done for you. Well, then why can't we get excited about the sacrifice that was made for us? Why can't we get excited about what my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us up there on Golgotha's Hill? He paid that sacrifice. He paid that debt you and I rightly owe. He paid for the atonement of our sins. He redeemed us. He bought us back from that place called hell. Why can't we get excited? Why can't we run all this? Why can't we do those things because of the sacrifice? Why? Because of that continuing condition we have. But God. Verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Our sins have been nailed to that cross. Our sins have been washed away under the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Cast behind God's back as far as the east is from the west. Y'all have heard all this 100 times before. But I'm telling you right now, the gospel tells us that that's the way it is. I believe it and I'll preach it till the day I die. That my sins are no longer going to be brought to my account. God's not going to wave them in front of me. But Satan will bring them up to you now. Satan will make you look back there and wonder what you're doing. I mean, I've been saved since I was 13 years old. And Satan still comes up to me sometimes and says, okay, now where's your God? Okay, or now why can't you get in hold of God? Where's God at right now? You know what? You're not saved. And He knows just enough and just what to say and just how to say it to make you really stop and think, am I? But God. He has those promises in that book. It says, but God. Over there in Hebrews 13:5, he says He will never leave us nor forsake us, but God. I've been saved and I'm going to be sealed to the day of redemption. Why? But for God. If God hadn't ever butted into our lives, we'd all be on our way to a devil's hell this morning. I'm telling you, I'm glad He butted into my life. I was sitting on the back pew of a bench, didn't have God on my mind, nowhere near my mind or anything else. But God come in that place that day. Stroked on my heartstrings, made me realize I was lost. But God then saved my soul. But God then wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But God then built me a mansion up there in heaven. But God. Everything was but for God. I'm telling you right now, we need to understand. But God. We want it to be everything. But on the flip side of that, a lot of people want it to be everything but God. A lot of people don't want God to have nothing to do with it. People want to think that it's all about me, it's what I'm doing, it's what I've done, it's what I'm going to do, it's everything but God. Well, if it wasn't but for God, like I said, we'd all be dying on our way to a devil's hell. Not only a carnal condition, not only a continuing condition, but man has a critical condition. Man has a critical condition. Look over in our scripture in chapter number 2 of Ephesians. Verse number 1. It says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse number 5 says, even when we were dead in sins. Verse number 11 says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise and having no hope and without God in the world. It don't get much more critical than that. It don't get much more critical than not having a holy God and you one heartbeat away from eternity. It don't get much more critical than not knowing where you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. It don't get much more critical than not knowing where you're, not knowing what's going to happen, but and not being sure about what's going to happen with your next breath. But God provides salvation. In verse number 13, He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And that's the only way you'll get it this morning. It's through the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All this Oprah-ism, Dr. Feelgood-ism, this me-ism, you-ism, I-ism, this all these isms and schisms. That's just a lie out of the gaping mouth of hell this morning. But there are people falling to that by droves. There are people flocking to that by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and by the millions. I remember here a while back when Oprah first got her little religious thing started up, that they said that the first meeting of her church, they had like something like 5,000, 6,000 people show up. And the second week they had over 10, 15,000 people show up. I'm telling you, the world don't want what we got. The world don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing that has to do with God. Looks of God, sees like God, smells. They don't want anything to do with God, period. But anything that makes them feel good about themselves. But God provided salvation. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In verse 19, I like this verse 19 and I'll close. It says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. In verse 12 it said that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and stranger from the covenants of promise. So I'm no longer an alien or a stranger to the covenants of the promise. I have them. They're all mine. Why? Because God provided me with salvation. I accepted it. I took it. Now I have all the promises of the commonwealth of Israel. I have all the promises of the covenant of a holy God. I have all the promises that are listed in this book. I have everything this book has to offer me. I'm better off than anybody I know. But then it says, but fellow citizens with the saints. In other words, I no longer am without promise and I have hope. I have hope because I'm a saint of God and of the household of God. In other words, I'm no longer without God in the world, but I'm part of God's household. I'm one of His and He's mine. You know, we need to understand this morning that if it wasn't for a holy God, if it wasn't for His love for us, and if it wasn't for His only begotten Son, that we'd all be in hell this morning. And hell would be our home. But God. And that's all I've got this morning. Be dismissed. Brother Mike, we're going to meet under the tree or downstairs.